Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black, your host. You know what? I don't think I've ever wanted to look like somebody else. Even when I was an ugly duckling growing up, I never wanted to look like somebody else. But plastic surgery is like the biggest thing going right now. And folks are coming into the surgeon's office wanting to look like who was ever hot. And I think that's a little strange. But renowned Atlanta plastic surgeon Dr. Ben Stong is joining us this morning. And I know you see this every day, right, Dr. Stong?
Certainly we do. You know, the social media has led to a huge increase in cosmetic surgery procedures and even non-invasive surgical procedures. Over the since 2000, there's been a 115% increase in procedures nationwide.
You think it's because people are looking at themselves more, taking selfies and going, I don't like my nose. I don't like my eyes. I don't like this.
Absolutely. If you just think about it from a personal level, how many more photos do you take today than you did 15, 20 years ago? Just because you have a camera in your pocket everywhere you go. And the avenue to put your pictures out there. People are seeing and noticing things that they've never noticed before now, particularly things like submental fullness, for instance, where underneath your chin you have a little fat pad.
Oh, yeah.
That really never used to be something that concerned people very much, and now we have a whole medication that specifically targets it.
Wow.
Hybella.
Yeah. I saw that. You know, I want to ask you about people that come to you and they really want to look like somebody else. How do you do that? Or what do you say? Because sometimes they're not even close to that. So, I mean, that's like a whole reconstruction, right?
Well, I mean, there's only so much you can actually do. You have to work with what
you got, right?
Do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I see all these stories in the news myself about, you know, human Ken doll and the woman who's undergone hundreds of operations to look like Barbie.
That's scary.
And that is certainly not a healthy place to be coming from, you know. And I really try and set expectations when people come see me about what we can and what we can't do. And, you know, I listen to what they want done. And then I offer practical solutions to their issues. But I also do try and set expectations so that after the procedure, you know, they're not, you know, thinking that they should have got a result that there was not possible.
Right.
and, you know, that they're doing it for the right reasons. I tell people all the time that, you know, that they should only be doing these procedures for themselves and not for anybody else, not your spouse, not your friends, not your, you know, intimate other. But, you know, that's the healthiest place to come from is when you're, you know, actually see something that you don't like and you want to do something about it. And it's not for, you know, anybody else but yourself.
So talk about for a moment, all of the fake, not even doctors, but people out there who are saying they're authorized to do what you do with fillers and things like that. And people are dying from this stuff. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, I see these people in my practice. Well, first we should talk about medical tourism. I think that's at a base level very risky. Going to foreign countries where certifying bodies and credentials are just not the same. And people go there specifically because it's so much cheaper than to get procedures done in the United States. But, you know, I see people in my practice who've had medical tourism procedures and had disastrous outcomes, you know, put stuff in their eyelid that you can't cut out, can't dissolve, you can't, you know, there's nothing you can really do for it other than, you know, supportive care. And in the United States, you know, there's something called truth in advertising within the plastic surgery community and within the medical community. And really what that means is if you say you're board certified or you say you're trained to be doing a procedure that you're offering, well, for instance, in California, you have to list boards that you're certified by next to your name. So you know exactly what board certifications these people have. In Georgia and other states throughout the country, we don't have truth in advertising laws.
Oh, wow.
I did see that Georgia was trying to put something through the state Congress. But, you know, you could say you're board certified and the rocket scientist of plastic surgery and not list your board
certifications.
and the person doesn't know any better. It's really just self-promotion. And I do find it shameful, and I am a big proponent of truth in advertising laws.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a reason that we go through 14 years of school and all these testing, you know, is to make sure that we meet a certain criteria to be able to do these procedures.
Absolutely. I tell you a story. I was, where is that coming from? I want to say New York. I'm not sure. Last year, and in the airport, our flights kept getting delayed, and there was this girl. Well, I saw the two sisters on the plane. So when we got to, and I want to say I was in, I wasn't in Detroit, somewhere in the South. And I asked her, I said, where's your sister? And she said she went on. But while on the flight, her sister was doubled over in pain. So I said, was she sick? What happened? She said, we just came back from the Dominican Republic. She had a procedure done, plastic surgery, and she almost died there. When so that was on Friday. Okay, she got it done on Friday. They told them that you can call us, we're available, all this stuff. So when her sister was running a fever, she was sick, she was shaking, something was wrong. They tried to get back in touch with the facility. The facility said, wouldn't answer the phone. So they went to the facility, and she, social media, got on social media and said, I am standing at the blah, blah, blah place in the Dominican Republic. My sister is about to die, and these people don't care. They did, you know, she ran down the whole story. The doctor comes out of the door and says, how dare you put that stuff about me on social media? I have a reputation. Now, she, of course, it's kind of in Spanish, but she's telling her, I have a reputation. I will sue you. And the girl's saying to her, I will sue you if my sister dies. You see my sister. So they took her in. I think they gave her some antibiotics and said, we can't help you anymore. She had to go all the way to Chicago. She had to go back home sick and messed up from whatever they did to her, and have another surgeon, American surgeon. She got to pay anyway to get everything redone. And she was sick for days and weeks. I kept in touch with the young lady, and this is from last year. She said her sister is kind of now just recovering from everything.
Yeah, fortunately, you know, those stories are fairly uncommon overall, which is good news, I guess, is a good way to look at it. But that specifically relates to the comments I made on medical tourism.
That's right. That's right.
You know, even though complications, you know, particularly in a well-qualified surgeon's hands, are exceedingly rare, you want to be around, I would want to be around my doctor if I was having a procedure and afterwards I had a problem or an issue. I wouldn't want to be thousands of miles away, although she wasn't thousands of miles away, but you could be. You could have already had the procedure, gone home. Infections can occur 14 plus days after these procedures. And then you need the supportive care. You know, a plastic surgeon isn't an infectious disease doctor. So if you get some weird infection in a foreign country, you have to rely on extended services to support the plastic surgeon as well. You know, good hospitals, clean hospitals, you know, all this, these different types of things that people don't really think about. They're looking at the bottom line, and that's a dangerous way to approach it. You know, maybe plastic surgery isn't for everyone. But you should certainly keep in mind, you know, having your doctor around in the, you know, perioperative period
to
deal with any issues that may arise.
That girl could have died. She was terrible. She really could have died. Yep. And it was just so interesting. And I told the girl, I said, can I keep in touch with you? I have to know what happened with, you know, what happened with her. And, because I just had to know, did that go over well for her? Because at the time, and we're hearing more and more of these tourist stories, you know, because everybody wants to go over and have these procedures done. But it is just so unsafe. You know, you're a world-class facial plastic surgeon, got great training, experience, recognition in your field. And do you have patients that come back to you after they've had a botched surgery and say, can you fix me?
Oh, absolutely. We see a lot of revision consultations. It's not necessarily always from overseas. It could be from, like I said, people who are doing procedures that they don't have the credentials or certifications to be doing. And are advertising that they do these procedures. Now, little things like Botox, you can't really hurt somebody with.
Yeah.
You know, most fillers, you know, particularly Juvederm and Voluma and any other HA fillers are dissolvable, so they're 100% reversible. So if you have a botched job, it's not life-threatening. But, you know, when you have any sort of cosmetic surgery, like a facelift or a rhinoplasty or eyelids, you know, you need to be sure that you're going to somebody who is qualified and trained to do those procedures. And, you know, I don't really get heavily into what the other surgeon did when they come in and see me. I just really try and evaluate, you know, what went wrong and how do I fix it? And that's really what, and then offer them the procedure and they can choose if they, you know, want to get the previous surgery corrected.
Now, does our insurance yet kind of honor or take, you know, for facial or any kind of plastic surgery?
Well, for purely cosmetic reasons, no.
No, right.
you know, I mean, I have had people come into my office who come in for facelift consults, and then at the end of the facelift consult, they're, you know, asking me, you know, oh, does my insurance cover this? And, you know, the answer is no. You know, the Constitution doesn't guarantee us life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and a facelift. You know, that's no, nobody needs a facelift. And that's another thing that I really would like to talk about. But people come into my office all the time and they'll have one specific thing they want to talk about. And they'll say, well, what else do I need? And, you know, there's a blurred line in our society of what you need versus what you want.
Right,
and
right.
I start out the conversation saying, look, you don't need any of this. This is all I want. And so, you know, that translates over into the insurance industry. I mean, we have this healthcare crisis in the United States. You know, we have a growing shortage of doctors in the United States because insurance companies keep squeezing reimbursements from, you know, hardworking, honest doctors. You know, we need to figure out what is necessary in our medical community versus what are wants and, you know, what is covered and shouldn't be covered. But certainly from a reconstructive standpoint, absolutely. I do tons of skin cancer reconstruction. I work with a lot of the dermatologists in the Atlanta community to fix, you know, any sort of skin cancer defect you might have in your head and neck. For instance, if you're missing half your eyelid or half your nose or your ear or a lip or whatever, you know, those things need to be rebuilt and those are covered by insurance because they're considered medically necessary. Now, one caveat that people don't always think about or understand is that some cosmetic procedures, portions of it can be covered by insurance if they result from the previous surgery with a functional defect. So let's say you have a nose job with somebody, you were breathing fine, you know, it was just purely for cosmetic reasons. And then after the surgery, you're not breathing well. Well, portions of that, of the revision surgery can be covered because there's a functional defect of you can't breathe very well any longer. Or if you have chronic watery eyes from an eye procedure or your, you know, your lips are, you know, you're trapping food in your mouth or something like that, then we could figure out ways to cover portions of it to be covered. But then if you want to fix the cosmetic portion, that's a separate portion of the procedure that's billed separately from the insurance. So you can get things fixed from previous bad cosmetic surgeries if they result in a functional problem after that original cosmetic surgery.
Got it. So most people, though, come to you just for elective surgeries?
Well, it's funny. You know, I've had my practice open just over 7 years now. And when I first started out, I hung my shingle in one of the most competitive communities in Atlanta. You know, I started out being primarily reconstructive. I'd say at least 90%+ reconstructive. For several years, you know, people aren't banging down your door for elective cosmetic procedures when you first start out. And recently, probably not that recently, but over the past 3 years or so, and even heading into this year, we have gotten so heavily focused on cosmetics just because the consults are coming in constantly. I mean, we might be doing 5 to 10 new cosmetic consults a day at this point. So it's an evolution of a practice. You know, when you're real young and first starting out, you're heavily reconstructive. And then as things goes on and you've been around, you have a reputation, you get good results, people start coming to you for all their elective stuff, all their cosmetic stuff. So Yes, at this point, I see tons and tons of cosmetic consults as well.
So let me ask you, I saw they had a reality show with cosmetic surgeons on television. I'm sure you've seen it. But
yes,
I noticed that a lot of kids now are getting cosmetic surgeries. I think that's really interesting as well.
Yeah, that's a slippery,
I'm trying to be nice, right?
Conversation there. You know, I mean, certainly if a minor is brought to my office and the parent is the one pushing the surgery, well, there's no chance I will operate on that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, the most important thing for anybody choosing to undergo any of these procedures is that it's for themselves.
Right.
There are psychosomatic disorders like Munchausen's by proxy, which you may
have
heard
of.
The parent will put the child in a sick position
for themselves, yeah,
for secondary gain.
So
you know, and there's reasonable times to operate on a kid, you know, if they have a mole that needs to be removed, which could turn into a melanoma down the road.
Right.
Of course, that's a reason to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rhinoplasties, we're typically waiting until their mid to late teens to really offer those procedures, you know, and a lot of teens want to get these procedures done before they go to college.
Yeah.
But, you know, the younger the kid is, the more heightened awareness you have to have as a surgeon as to what the motivation of the parent is versus the child.
Yeah.
And, you know, a 10-year-old really doesn't have the capability to understand what they do and don't want. I don't.
Right.
So,
not to make that decision. Know, yeah.
Yeah. And if you're 15 or 16, you know, you really do have, you know, the mental awareness and matureness typically to really express what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it really has to be expressed through the child,
mm-hmm,
or the teenager. But the parent ultimately has to sign the consent form,
yeah,
for the procedure.
Yeah.
So you really do have to sort of tease apart what all the motivations are when children are coming in for cosmetic surgery.
Oh, yeah. When moms are bringing their daughters in for boob jobs. Oh, I gave her a boob job for her 16th birthday. Excuse me? That is
right.
Crazy. But like you said, it's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope. It really is. But we're seeing more and more of that because it just appears that image and your looks are everything, and everybody wants to look their absolute best. It's like, really? Wow. Okay.
Well, absolutely. You know, there's, you know, for instance, in aging face surgery, there's basically three reasons people get aging face surgery, which includes facelifts, browlifts, and blepharoplasties, right? One, you know, we're just living longer than we ever have. We're healthier than we ever have been. And when we look in the mirror, what we see in the mirror doesn't always match how we feel on the inside.
It's so true.
And, you know, we just want to feel as good as look as good as we feel.
Mm-hmm.
Two, a lot of people start getting cosmetic surgeries, aging face surgeries to remain relevant in their occupation.
That's true.
They don't feel tired. They don't feel tired. They may look tired. They've got puffiness under their eyes and dark circles, or, you know, whatever. And their boss may be taking responsibility away from them. They have a hot shot, you know, who wants their job breathing
right,
down their neck.
Right.
and they're trying to remain relevant as long as possible in their occupation. And then three is the divorcee crowd. You know, the late 40s, 50s, 60s, people are splitting up and they're going back out on the singles market, and they sort of feel like they need to look better to find a partner.
Wow. Wow. It's such an interesting dynamic. You know, like you said, it moved from reconstructive to purely cosmetic. So really an interesting place to be right now. Dr. Song, tell everybody how they can reach you out, how they can learn more about you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. My practice name is called Kalos Plastic Surgery, Kalos. Our website is www.kalos-plasticsurgery.com, and our phone number is 404-963-6665. Our website, I believe, is second to none. There's so much information in there. I've spent so much of my time trying to create an informative website where people can really get solid advice and solid answers and be well prepared when they come in to talk to me for consultation. I like my patients extraordinarily knowledgeable and well prepared.
Mm-hmm.
because it makes the consultations that much easier if they really understand what they're asking and what they really want when they get in here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Dr. Ben Stong joins us this morning. Kalos-PlasticSurgery.com is where you need to go. That's K-A-L-O-S -PlasticSurgery.com for more information. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.